Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat, not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it. Today on All About Affordable NFTs, we are talking about hidden NFTs gone wrong and also gone right. Andrew, how's it going? What are we seeing in the news?
Ooh, there's a lot in the news all over the place, and big world news, and it's touching crypto and NFTs, of course. And Crane DAO is our first news item out here. Let's see, they've raised over 7 million in crypto now. I believe there's over 50 million total in crypto that's been raised. Yeah. And then there was one NFT that was sold via a party bid to over 3,200 participants, different wallets that were participating in the bid together, that raised almost 7 million on its own. I think that was about 6.8 that brought in. So a lot of people using crypto in order to send and help out Ukraine. So interesting to see that it's being used in that way, much different than if you didn't have access to crypto. I can't imagine that many people would be just wiring money or doing something like that. They'd be donating to other organizations that it would be going through to get there. So a much different path that we're seeing right now, and something that is really unlike any war time that we've ever seen before.
Certainly an unprecedented time in many respects. Clearly, I feel like I've heard a lot of people pretend they're like geopolitical experts. I am not one of them, but I'll tell you what, this is going to shift the type of behavior we see with regard to crypto on the world stage. The fact that the government of Ukraine is using Twitter to openly share their public public address for sending them money, and then people actually then started doing that at unprecedented levels. What's more, you see traditional methods of giving running into immediate problems. And I look at Patreon, the fact that they suspended the Ukrainian NGO Come Back Alive. They suspended it. Patreon, a major way of giving, said that they are in violation of their rights and policies because it was technically potentially going toward arms or other equipment that might be used in war. Albeit this is a once in a generation moment, and maybe you should have gone above and beyond normal terms of service, but Patreon saw fit to shut them down. And in old school, old world, TradFi, yeah, sure, you can close the doors to allowing who you think and should and shouldn't get money. But I was really inspired by seeing how quickly crypto took up the banner, and it's going to shift, I think, a lot of the way crypto philanthropy potentially works. So it's a scary time, but uplifting when you see some of the way the community is looking to support Ukraine in this moment of crisis.
Yeah, I think it's really quite a moment for crypto here, because even from the Russian perspective, they've had so many financial sanctions put upon them that it makes a case for crypto in other places. And whether you support them or not, other countries are certainly going to look at that and realize that if their assets can be frozen, they are somewhat at risk of what other countries can do. And I think that does make a stronger case for crypto, albeit we're also seeing a lot more of centralized marketplaces or vendors in the decentralized world take action as well. Although we have seen most of the crypto exchanges, I don't think that they've yet done anything, although they've been asked to by the Ukrainian government to restrict who can use their services. We have recently seen that there's some marketplaces and some exchanges that are limiting, or smaller ones that are limiting who can actually access their service.
It's an important note that Not Your Keys, Not Your Crypto is going to be more widely understood. And you still see a lot of confusion, governments and regulatory agencies claiming that like, oh, you know, OpenSea or like a CoinDesk can shut down all of an account. No, these are windows into a somewhat contained walled garden, but the garden is not living in those four walls. So you even saw Coinbase making public statements saying like, hey, if you are interested in, you know, moving your money, like now would be the time to do it, because if it is on Coinbase, it can be shut down and it is under US jurisdiction. So when you hear the terms financial nuclear weapons and shutting down SWIFT, right, the banking system, the second order effects are pretty clear that it's going to increase the usage of crypto. So, it's something that we'll continually watch as for how it changes how the general market interacts with wallets, with crypto, and certainly giving. We have another
a little more, a little lighter.
Lighter note. All right.
Excellent. There's a lot to go into there, and you know, maybe we can talk some more about some of these issues, but yeah, I think we can move on to the next topic here. What do you have for us, George?
We need to talk about Kevin. So getting to our hidden reveal gone wrong, getting about Kevin Pixelmon. The ugliest NFT kind of award. And in short, Pixelmon was a much, much, much hyped drop that happened.
70 million.
And $70 million purchase. So you think, oh my gosh, and these are sort of, you know, 3D rendered pixel based pieces to just describe them. It looks like they were built in Minecraft. Let's just be clear. It looks like this thing was built in Minecraft.
I think that's being generous. Honestly, they are, they're comically bad. When I first saw them, I scrolled by it because I thought it was a joke.
I didn't
even believe that it was.
I thought it was a joke.
I thought someone was making fun of it pre-reveal. That's it. I mean, if you haven't seen these, you need to take a look. We've got a link in our notes, but what happened?
It really, it's an abomination. It's like an abomination. Basically, like I think they spent all of their money on hyping the shit out of this. They got used and publicly purchased like 3D renders of stuff. They like probably found the lowest bidder possible on Fiverr and had somebody just
they had some Upwork people make them.
Nothing against Upwork. There are very great people doing great work there, but.
No, but they were getting it done as cheap as possible. Even the people that worked for it were saying that they were, you know, being asked to pump them out faster. And then there was the creator said, well, these weren't actually they weren't supposed to be revealed yet. And the real ones were going to look better, or still going to look better, is what they're claiming. At the same time, they also spent, I think, around $1.5 million worth of the ETH they brought in on blue chip NFTs like Bored Apes and Punks. I think they spent more on that than they did on the art. And it shows in looking at this. So that wasn't the end of the story. You know, people caught on to this, and there was one of these in particular that seemed to get everybody's attention. And this is Kevin. And what is happening with Kevin?
A bit of an abomination, I'd say. It's this like just horribly done graphic image of a sad sack thing with his tongue out. It looks like an accident. It looks like something went terribly
wrong.
He's
everywhere now, though. There are Kevin Punks now.
The irony is that it's going to come full circle and be a meme. I'm trying to find what Kevin's going for. I mean, the overall project right now, floor price is at 0.3, and that is a far cry from where it was on these 10,000 items. I can't find a Kevin.
Yeah, the initial project started with a 3 ETH Dutch auction. I know some people bought it at that. I don't know what it minted out at, but I believe it was over 2 ETH. So to be down at 0.3 now is pretty bad.
Well, the funny thing is now Kevins are going for like hundreds of ETH. I think the cheapest, I'm trying to find the cheapest Kevin I can find here. But the irony is not lost, I think, on the people that are happening to own them. But unfortunately, the rest of the people that own these really just poorly imagined, poorly executed pieces are just, they got rugged hard. And now they're being made fun of. The Pixelmon project is now saying that they're going to take a whole whopping $2 million of the $70 million and give it the old college try on making these things better. So,
yeah, they had all sorts of
even if you have a Kevin, mind you, even if you think this is the play to go get a Kevin, they're just going to rug the rugging. So there's no play here. There's no play.
Absolutely not. No, but it's a great one to take a look at and remember. I think it is it's a good story and a good one to remember when you are getting into a project. Is this a Kevin?
Am I going to get Kevin? Oh God. That's so rough. All right, hold on. I'm pulling up Kevin's. I want to see the cheapest.
Kevin listeners out there.
I'm sorry, Kevin owners. The cheapest Kevin you can get currently is 6 ETH, though. So, then it actually did trade hands. All right. I'm moving on to our affordable project. We'll come back to the theme, but Crypto Unicorn Land. So, this is one that I heard, I think it was on Bankless or Priceless JPEGs, just as in passing from a guest. And, you know, that's kind of how I randomly find and search things. I will hear like, it wasn't the theme of the episode, but like somebody said something random and then you wander on. So there was a couple other Bankless people looking around and Crypto Unicorn Land. It's actually part of the cryptounicorns.fun. Again, all of these links can be found in our show notes. And the Crypto Unicorns are a game. And this is going to be a sort of combination of resource farming and play type of game. It's been out since, definitely mid last year. And they started with unicorns and then they had three releases of the actual land. There are different rarities of the land. And one of the things that Andrew and I have been looking for is that what does that land play inside of an ecosystem? Since the metaverse hype of digital land seems to have skyrocketed quite a bit. So the next opportunity is saying, all right, what else is scarce-ish digital land? Full disclosure, I blindly jumped into this one and I own a couple pieces of rare land of the first survey one, they call it. So they have different land minting rounds. So this is round one and you can filter for that. The current floor for unicorn market land is 0.1 for the general more common. There are 6,000 common, 3,000 rare, 1,000 mythic. The community seems pretty robust. And I say the unicorns that are the sort of Genesis playing elements on it are currently at about 1.4 ETH. So it is a pretty strongly held project. They also recently dropped a token, which is also allowed to be staked. They have a multi-year release. They have a strong release roadmap for the tokenomics, which I was kind of impressed by. I went through the full white paper and the organization, the company is fully doxed and has actually previously created a pretty large mobile game in the past, Laguna Games. So, you know, I'm talking about digital unicorns that are going to race each other and fight each other on land and harvest it. So this is not financial advice, but that seems like an affordable project. Andrew, what do you see on this thing?
Well, it looks like this is another one right up your alley. I don't know if they actually have stables. It's not maybe stable based.
I couldn't afford the unicorn, so I went land.
But of course there are pony like things. So you have of course gone in on this one. I heard it on the same. Maybe it was the same podcast, or we both had heard about it. Mentioned it in our Discord, and I have not bought any yet, but have been looking at it. I think it's an interesting play. I like that it's on Polygon. Save those gas fees. It is going to take some transactions, and by being on Polygon, won't have to pay any gas fees for it. And it just feels smooth when you do it there. So I think that's a big plus. I still think that a lot of people have not ventured into some of the L2 NFTs, and there's still a lot of room for people to come in. I like that people are already playing this game. It looks solid. There's a good team behind it. And I am watching and may pick one up sometime soon here, or even by the time this comes out.
Yeah, one thing to note, though, on the scarcity piece, and I really had to dig in pretty far on this, there are currently 30,000 items. I did the breakdown. I think the play is on the rare land, which is hovering around 0.2, depending on when you hear this. But they're going to, this is not a fixed amount of land. They're going to be increasing the land. However, they're going to do it on a bonding curve, and also based on a supply demand sort of way where they're going to be able to set the number, it seems like, and then the new land will be created based on the current scarcity ratios that exist right now. And so while I'm not thrilled that there's going to be more of the thing that I have, I'm trying to insulate a little bit on that again by talking about like which survey I have of it. Like it was the first drop. Maybe there's something sentimental about it, but make no mistake, there's going to be more land. And at a certain point when there is a glut of a thing, that thing and the price of it will go down. So this is, I would not say one of those like long hold ones, because it's going to like go up and up. And I'd pay attention to a certain volume, and that's in the roadmap. You currently cannot, I repeat, cannot create any more land. But it seems like they'll be having the breeding of the unicorns, which interact with this land to do different types of yield things. There's a lot of dynamics here involved. So, you know, again, I'm talking about digital unicorns on the internet.
Yeah, cool project, I think. Good to check out. And I think it is, it's definitely in the affordable range, and at least with the land, the ponies, as you mentioned, are not quite as affordable, but we'll definitely one to look at and see how they develop the game here.
Yeah. And then they also have, as I think I mentioned, staking for their tokens in there. So it's interesting. They're doing a lot of things right. And I am long games as my investment thesis this year in NFTs. Okay. On to our theme. So, hidden NFT reveal gone wrong and gone right. Well, look, digging into the gone wrong, Pixelmon is just, you know, an utter and complete joke. And it's just, it's too bad, because I think there's a lot of people who put a lot of money into this. $70 million means a lot of folks were, you know, hoping for a lot out of this. And, you know, frankly, the project I just talked about, the crypto unicorns, like that was a hidden reveal. There's a lot of hidden reveals actually that have come up, you know. Red Village had a lot of hidden reveals as well, where like, oh, here are our characters. But beforehand, you know, you could see some of the existing graphic style of the project before the reveal. So you kind of had a vibe of what was coming, where I'm not quite sure that was as true in this case. They were showing like bits and pieces of it, but you know, that's gone wrong. Can you, Andrew, point to one that went right in terms of a recent hidden reveal?
Sure. Well, we did have one just recently in Invisible Friends, and it was one that was also very much hyped before the minting. It was one that we had mentioned at some point and realized that, you know, we and everybody else had heard of it. So it was one we were nowhere close to being able to mint. I don't know what the public mint was, how many were even available, but the floor has gone quite just up since, I don't know how, I haven't followed it extremely closely, but it went crazy after reveal. People have loved it. There's was a 200 ETH sale for one of the most rare ones recently. And I know shortly after the mint, they auctioned one off, and I think they actually donated the proceeds to a Ukraine organization for that as well. But that went for, I believe, over 400 ETH. So it's been a very popular project, done well. You know, that being said, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure what the real reason is to do a hidden reveal as opposed to just being able to see it on mint. You know, at least being able to see it on mint, you can see what other people have gotten and know that there is something actually coming out that's worth the mint price. You know, that being said, yeah, you don't have much time sometimes anyway. So,
well, I was doing the dive on Invisible Friends, and I was like hoping that we could get on a whitelist or something. And it, like, it was a full grind to do it, and would have taken a full-time job to go about it. But this guy, Marcus Magnuson, had a really strong history of creating the sort of moving graphic image art style, had a, like, you got it right. Like, you got what you were signing up for in terms of the actual art. And ironically, like Invisible Friends, part of me was like, what if it's just like Emperor Has No Clothes, kind of like, and it's funny, it's just clothes walking. But there's a lot behind it, and it's really kind of an interesting theme. But I think here are why to do an invisible, not invisible, but a hidden drop, right? Where you get an image and then an image changes, right? Because remember, when you get that contract, the actual image you get is just pointing to something hosted somewhere, and that can be changed. What lives at that address is what your NFT looks like in most cases. We can do an episode down the road on why that's different, but I think you can do a hidden reveal because you can actually add a real level of, I guess, fairness to a drop where people can't just immediately poach what they think is rare. It's a fair way to do maybe a whitelist or a distribution drop where it's like, oh, you know, let's say people on the whitelist immediately get unfair advantage of understanding where rarities are and can begin to sell against that. It also buys, frankly, the development team a little bit of extra time after the drop. You know, yeah. And so sometimes
certainly,
it can be used.
Certainly makes sense from that perspective. Like you could take the money in before maybe having everything ready to go. I can see that perspective as well from, you know, everybody gets your mint and then we'll do this, you know, everybody sees at the same time as opposed to revealing over a period of time, you know, while that's being minted. It's just, I guess, a little bit concerning that, you know, there's not much of a difference between these two when you look at how much they were hyped. And
it's the tale of two cities.
Completely different outcomes here. And, you know, if you had minted both, I guess you'd still be all right. But if you just minted Pixelmon, not so much. And, you know, it's tough to say, like, you know, how do you make sure that it's not that one? You know, that was a project where the people were doxxed, although there were no, you know, from what I've seen, there are no signs that they've accomplished, you know, much on other projects or have been involved in other projects. I could be wrong on that. You know, there was more evidence of a good following and strong art from the Invisible Friends team, or from the Invisible Friends artist. There weren't clear distinctions that one was going to go great and one was going to essentially be a rug.
Yeah, no. And I, to be fair, it wasn't like a complete rug, but it was definitely, it seemed like it got far more popular than they anticipated it to get. And then suddenly they're like, well, this would have been fine for like a $1 million drop, but not for what it ended up at.
But would that mean that they would have put all of 70,000 or so into the project or something? So. It's
like, you thought Kevin looked bad.
Yeah.
You said Gus. It's just a puddle. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It didn't seem either way like they were very dedicated to the project. You know, they were immediately paying themselves after the mint. You know, that's just kind of disappointing. You know, that shouldn't really be the time for a celebration. That's when the community is kind of expecting you to go and take it further. And it's not really the time to just go pay yourself, I would say, for most creators at that point. They seem to reason that because they had been working so hard beforehand, they deserve to go spend that money on those blue chip NFTs, as they called them. You know, certainly questionable. I don't know. I didn't follow it too closely beforehand. So, you know, maybe there were signs ahead of time that they were likely to do something like that. And, you know, but that's really hard to say, especially when you're, like you said, it was kind of this grind to get on that whitelist. And, you know, once you do all that, it's hard to find faults in the project if you have made it onto that whitelist, right?
Yeah. I mean, very, very difficult. I mean, the Pixelmon site, like my argument that, like, oh, you could tell by the previous art, like, I don't know what signs you're going to find. I really don't know what signs you're going to find about what's going to be a success versus not. I'll say the hidden reveal is not a turnoff to me. You know, you look at NBA Top Shot and I'm getting a pack. Like, what is that? That's a hidden reveal. You get a pack of things. I don't know what is in there. And there's a bit of fun and mystery to it.
That's essentially a minting, though. I mean, I guess you can open it at any point. So you can reveal it at any time. So there is, maybe that's somewhere in between the two. You know, you get to decide when it reveals at that point. But there is something to the mystery of it as well for a collector, I'd say, you know, that you're waiting to see what it is and kind of the build up and the suspense of like, what is it going to be? And it makes for another event after the minting for them to say, all right, you know, in 12 hours, we're going to have the reveal. And, you know, it's kind of another time for the project to to do something, because you know it's better than the creators just celebrating and buying themselves Bored Apes right after it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't count Pixelmon out. I mean, that's a big cash reserve to play with.
Yeah,
they've got like, I mean, they've got stuff. They have like a downloadable demo app that you can do. Like it's not vaporware. I'm not going here.
Keep an eye on it. This comes up in a future episode. Just remember back to now.
Remember back when we shit on it for like 5 minutes. I don't know. I could see maybe a development heavy team just sort of shipping out on the like, we just need characters, just get it done, and like they focus more on development. I don't know. Like arguably, like I'll be the first one to say that like My Little Pegasi things, they aren't the like best looking. The website is a little like, you know, it wasn't
still
designed
perfectly.
They're a far cry from Kevin. No,
from Kevin and his. I mean, Kevin's one of the better looking ones. And,
you know, they wanted Kevin.
someday. Just wait. Yeah. If I were, I would not hold on to those long. I know there's a lot of people saying.
I love you. Get a Kevin, and then they would just change all the images. You'd be like, that'd be so good. It might come full circle. I will actually keep an eye on it because it's curious. All right. I think we've covered our theme. We've covered a lot of topics, talked about all manner of crypto beasts. I think we're good.
All right. Good chatting.
Huzzah. See you later.
This has been an episode of the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com. In our show notes, again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. Hope you learned something.